galaxy far, far away, the Star Wars saga began, and Kenner continues the excitement.
Star Wars figures.
The Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi.
Welcome to the Star Wars Collector's Archive podcast.
It's the end of an era of an old republic for Sky and Steve. This is going to be the final episode of our first 124-episode arc. So we're going to start a whole new thing in the coming months. You might have noticed we've missed a couple months, October and November. Now it's, halfway through December. And here's the deal. I have been making this podcast, I've been editing this podcast on a version of GarageBand from 2013. And these new computers, it's they won't handle it. It's too vintage for all these modern noobs. So I don't know what I'm going to do, but we're going to change everything. And it's going to be different and probably better because there's going to be a little bit less of my horse hockey doing all sorts of editing and, you know, drops or whatever. But we'll try to figure it out. I don't know. Maybe you can help us out with this new thing that we're doing. But I can't even release this episode to iTunes right now because Dreamweaver doesn't work on my computer either. It's a whole mess. Basically, my whole technological world has just been just crumbling around me as I hold on to these old days of GarageBand 13. My nails have fallen off their beds from holding on so strongly to this crazy old format of enhanced podcasts that I can edit and not even use like any kind of real easy RSS thing, but directly write the feed into Dreamweaver. I, like you, am a dinosaur who is unaware of the comet that has already hit. And that comet was called Apple saying they don't like enhanced podcasts. I'm going off the rails here. But the point is this. Check out this new episode. We recorded it in October. I don't remember a single thing. I think it's about Warlock or Pop, probably Poplu. I think it's about Poplu. I think Warlock is one of the later ones. So we're going to be talking about Poplu, and then we're going to be back, hopefully next month, sometime in early next year, with a new format, Sky and Steve 2.0 is what we're going to be calling ourselves. 2.0, Sky and Steve. But now, listen to us talk about Tebow or Ewoks or one of those fucking things. The cast.
And Stephen B. Denley.
Wampa Wampa?
Welcome to Kivecast 124.
This is the longest hiatus we've ever had, Steve.
I think it has to be, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely, definitely.
I feel like there's been, like, you know, multiple ages have passed since we last talked about vintage Star Wars figures. So it feels good to be back in that zone, though a little bit rusty, I'll say.
I mean, I've been keeping up. You know, I've been on the Facebook groups, and I've gotten, you know, I've purchased a few items. And, you know, like, I got a – I mean, I have a crazy awesome item that we're going to talk about with Bill Cable at some point.
Okay. Oh, yes, I did see. I think I caught a little bit of that.
Yeah, I think I spent the most money I've ever spent on any item in my collection. So, but that tends to happen when you get a pretty intense figure focus collection going that's sort of towards the end. You're like, well, I guess I'll spend 4 years of budget on one item.
Yeah, it's worth it, though.
But I don't know if it's been too long for me to get good segues. Do you know who I don't focus on, Steve? I don't focus on Poplu.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I couldn't. I was realizing I had put together some notes for this. Really, it felt like 2 years ago because I was looking at it again. And I'm like, I don't even remember writing this. But, yeah.
Yeah, Poplu, your notes were awesome. I got to say. So Steve called this episode Poplupalooza. And I don't think, no matter what we come up with, nothing's going to be better than that, Steve.
I figured you might like it given the music connection, but it's just the first word that popped into my head when I started seeing just how much Poplu stuff is out there, which I'm pretty excited to dive into because I was quite surprised.
Now, have you ever been to Lollapalooza, Steve?
No, I've never been. Never been. I've watched a lot of video of performances, like, you know, but never attended. It looks so, like kind of an insane situation.
Well, you know, I only went to Lollapalooza back when it toured. So
okay.
I wanted to go to the first one, but I had to go to a wedding, so I missed seeing Jane's Addiction in 91.
Yeah.
But I did go to Lollapalooza 92.
Oh.
So that's the one that you would have wanted to go to, Steve.
It is.
Pearl Jam played there.
Yeah.
But really, the highlight of that was Ministry. They played, and everyone started burning down the Great Woods.
Oh my God.
It was really, really intense. It was super awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
I actually had sort of forgotten that I'd seen Pearl Jam more than once. So anyways, that's what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Poplu. And and Steve, you happened to mention that a new Walkling is part of the Kivecast family.
I did. It's funny. I always think about Poplu in that scene where 3PO says, we're now part of the tribe. And like, of course, it's the episode where you have a new Walkling in the tribe. It felt so perfect to me.
Yeah, so if you've been listening to the show, I started the show when I had a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and now I have a 7-week-year-old. So
and it's amazing. It's so amazing.
It's very exciting. It's very fun. The main problem, Steve, like, it's okay being an old dad. It's just I just wish I had a little more body stamina. I don't really know how to put it, but I'm not like suffering. I just wish I had a little more body stamina. But yeah. It's just because, you know, most people who listen to this show will eventually probably meet me. So the funny thing is that it is now my second child with a name that is not a Star Wars name that everybody assumes is a Star Wars name. So
I did like the way you worded your disclaimer when you sent that.
Yes.
It was a message to a group of friends, and I knew you would have to do that if you're.
Well, because this is the thing, right? So my son's name, after the French Belgian Roma guitar player Django Reinhardt. So he's Django with a D. So he wasn't named after Jamie Foxx.
With a D, yeah.
He wasn't named after Franco Neri. He wasn't named after Django Fett or Tamara Morrison. He was named after that, and it just happens to be. Mariana has a very close friend who she lost, and that person's name happened to be Boba. So it's this very awkward thing of like, I want to tell all my Star Wars friends, and if it were a reason like Django and Django Fett, I wouldn't mind people laughing, but because it's kind of a serious thing, you know, like losing somebody at a young age, it's not really a thing that you can laugh, but then I don't really feel good, like, I don't blame people for laughing. Like, look at the Star Wars fan who named their daughter Boba. But so
yeah, no, that's, but it's such a, you know, when it, yeah, heartwarming story, and just, I don't know, I'm just so happy for you guys. Just
but that's why you killed me, because your daughter was playing with a Boba Fett toy after we'd already decided the name, and I was so close to you being the only person I told. I almost told you the name. I was super close, but.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason why it's been a little while.
Just
getting things set. Also, like, my computer, I don't know what's going on. I can't get Dreamweaver. My microphone like just stops recording sometimes.
that's like a living in an action movie here. Where can we make it?
Well, I'm doing this thing where I teach a class and I record, like, basically I'm doing an independent study, which is just where a teacher teaches a class and doesn't get paid for it. It's awesome. So I'm just recording my classes like with a video, but then the microphone just cut out after 10 minutes. So it's like 30 minutes of me and I have to redo it. So anyways.
Ah, man. All right. Well, we're going to chunk this one up.
Yes. But let's talk about Poplu, because I think Poplu immediately wins the best name. It's something we haven't mentioned, but most Ewoks have very satisfying names. Wicket, great name. Lumat, top shot. I think we should do maybe a tier list. If we were more YouTube, we should do a tier list of I think the only real losers are like Romba. Like, that's not a very good name. Yeah, I think that's just it. But Poplu is
Tebow's pretty good. Tebow's
good. Great.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think Poplu, that's I don't know. I think that stands above most of them. Yeah.
But as always, the issue is just like, well, what is Poplu? Which one is Poplu? It was only when reading your notes today that I realized he was the one who stole the speeder bike. So that's a pretty noticeable one.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like the hero Ewok, but it is just yet another case of completely confusing and mistaken Ewok identities when it comes to, at least with the Kenner figure and card back, for sure.
Okay, so break that down for us, Steve.
Okay, so if you're looking at the Return of the Jedi Poplu card back,
yes,
that Ewok pictured there is definitely not Poplu. It's a character in the movie. But it has this weird, confusing lineage of its own. So, poor Ramba. We're going to revisit this whenever, however many years down the line we get to Ramba. But basically, that Ewok that you see on that Poplu card back, you could either consider that to be Ramba, who is this Ewok from Return of the Jedi, or it's the same basic outfit, I think the same mask, that's then used for Wicket's brother, Weechi, in the live-action Ewok movies, and then that character's in the cartoons and stuff. Oh. So as a kid who, like, obsessed about Ewoks growing up, all these misidentifications just, like, drove me nuts when I was trying to... Like, that's not fact. What? It's just kind of funny that, yeah, like...
Oh, I'm looking at this picture. It's totally just Ramba. I mean, the Ramba carded figure is just the same guy, just at a different angle.
Yeah, yeah. It's just... it's funny that... It just never is quite right.
I'm looking up. You can hear me type here. Is there a publicity still of Poplu? Does that even exist?
Yes. Yes, there it is. There is, actually. And it's kind of funny. I didn't include this. But there was a press kit specifically for Ewoks for Return of the Jedi. So it was to introduce these new characters. And there's two stills. One of them has Poplu correctly named and labeled as the right character, but yeah, it's just for whatever reason they decided to go with with Ramba or Weechi as the one on the card back, which isn't
so
right.
So that solves the riddle, because we came up with, for one of our archive parties, a card back of a character called Poplu. And it always bugged me because it didn't look like the Poplu card back. But I never said anything because that was Jared Clark. And if he ever listens to one of these episodes, this is going to be one of them. And he lives out in Massachusetts, so I know he's been to Great Woods Performing Center too. He probably didn't see Pearl Jam. He probably saw Korn 30 times. But yes.
But see, I'm proud of Jared's accuracy when he brought our take on Poplu to life. Definitely the right character. And one of my favorites that he's done, really.
Now, do you happen to know, because I did a little bit of research, when Hasbro redid the vintage figure line, did they correct the picture on the back?
I don't know. I'm guessing they probably didn't.
No,
but...
they did not. It's still just Ramba.
Just the same one? Okay. Yep.
Wow. Okay. So already we have the confusing... So there is a still, but is there a color still of... Of pop, like, why would Kenner have not done that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure photography of that character definitely existed. I feel like he shows up in lobby cards. There's other, like, if you're looking through the internet now, there's plenty of period photos of that character. But whether there was one that was correctly labeled and sent to Kenner, it seems like maybe not. I don't know. There's even more confusion, which we can get to in a bit. But yeah, definitely, like, Kenner didn't get it right again. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. When I think of Poplu, like, I think of his weird dialogue. I don't know if you do this too, but I feel like he has some of the weirdest Ewokies lines in the movie.
So I'm just starting to understand, Steve, that you, like, really have a thing for Ewoks.
I mean, I think it's resurgent now. I had it when I was young, and I now that we're, it's like perfect timing because we're getting into all these Ewok figures in the podcast, and now I have like a rabid Ewok running around my house all the time.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's and she, you know, Eleanor likes Ewoks, but she's not like infatuated with them like I was. But yeah, right. I definitely did. It's coming back. I feel like I've unlocked something that's been buried away for quite a while.
All right, so I'm looking up on YouTube, Poplu dialogue. I can't find it. So how does his dialogue sound, Steve?
The one I always think of, beyond the thing we were talking about with being part of the tribe, but I feel like right when they get caught in the net and they all drop down, he kind of stumbles up and he has this weird igla.
He's not the dang, that one.
It's like
which one?
Right back to back. It's like I think it's paired with whatever character does that one. But yeah,
because that's the guy like the hagadang gang guy.
Yeah, no, it's I mean, it goes right along back to your what was it you used to call our story time on the podcast? You had the
Tikalo Carbon.
Yeah, I guess that's still it's an Ewok word, but it's I don't know. It's just such an insane thing that Ben Burtt did to create that language.
Yeah,
it's so impressive and just wild.
And I think it's probably part of the problem is that Yub Nub just as a term has taken over, that we really forget the variety of sounds that come out of those little teddy bear sounds.
Yeah. It's just, it's pretty remarkable and I don't know, wild. Look up the scene. Tell me if anyone catches that weird line that's stuck in my brain since whenever I first saw
it. Let's hear it again, Steve.
Egula. And almost maybe it's because some of it sounds a little bit Icelandic to me. It reminded me of my grandparents talking.
Right.
Not the word specifically, but just the kind of tone and some of the pronunciation sounds a little bit Icelandic or Scandinavian at times. But yeah.
Okay, so you're sitting there and you're like, wait, isn't Sky going to put in the Egula sound? And it's, this is it. I'm not going to be able to do this starting with episode 125. I don't know what we're going to do. So I just want you to appreciate this Egula time. Now, on the other side, I am not going to like make some kind of funky song that you have to listen to for 5 minutes. Just rewatching the scene, I realized my favorite one of these Ewoks is the guy who goes, "This guy's wise." Like when C-3PO talks, the guy's like, "Yeah, this fucking guy, he gets it. This guy gets it. This guy's wise." But you want to hear the "Hey, Egula," Steve's fancy "Hey, Egula." It's coming. And you know what else? I'm just saying it straight up. Archive party, the next archive party, because there is going to be another archive party. There wasn't one before because COVID, but there will be another one, and there will be official t-shirts that say "Hey, Egula" with a picture of Steve's goddamn face on it. Stephen B. Danley saying "Hey, Egula" cartoon as drawn by Michael Cooper. I haven't asked him yet, but I'm sure he's going to do it. We're going to make t-shirts, 50 of them. Why am I doing all of these voiceovers like I am Justin Roiland?
Yeah, Morty. That's a good idea. Yeah. That sounds like Beavis.
Shut up, Morty. I'm gonna miss doing this, y'all. I'm just living it up. It's an end of an era.
Egula. Egula. It's probably what it is. I'm probably hearing my grandparents speaking Icelandic behind me, and I'm watching Return of the Jedi at the same time and just conflating the two.
Hey, Egula. Well, you put here Sky Ku, and I actually took some time to come up with the Sky Ku today.
Okay.
And it's, I think I have to just read it, and then I have to go back, and I need to explain it, because this actually took me a while. This is, I mean, sometimes they're all equally good, but sometimes they take more time.
Yeah, so. And it needs a breakdown.
Yes.
Okay.
Feather in your cap. Grand Theft Speeder Jacking Pimp. You are too, Poplu?
Yes. Oh, this is perfect. Yeah.
Okay, so obviously Feather in your cap is because, I mean, Ewoks have lots of cool stuff in their accessories. He has a feather in his hat, so that makes me think about, you know, a sort of stereotypical looking player's ball style pimp guy. And then he's also Grand Theft Speeder Jacking. I've been doing a lot of work on the history of gangster rap because I'm teaching a class. And so I was like trying to like build in the lyrics to to Boys in the Hood, like all about making that GTA. It's actually eight syllables, not seven. I was trying to work that in there. So
yeah.
So that's why I ended up with the speeder jacking pimp. And then, as you will mention, Steve, the actor who plays R2-D2 is also the one who plays Poplu.
Yes.
So it ends with you, R2, Poplu. So I'm saying, like, you are also a pimp, Poplu, but you are also Poplu, like, you know. So you are also R2. You are R2, Poplu. So there's... Oh,
very, very good. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Wow.
Feels good. Feels good to have a. I mean, I'm always proud of them, but I usually don't get that many together. So, and as you can tell, I actually spent some time today looking at him. I also spent a long time because this is the thing, you know. Like, I never had accessories, and I am positive I never had a Poplu. Because if I had a Poplu, I would have liked a Poplu. Because do you know what a Poplu is like without accessories?
Just like a little teddy bear.
Yeah, but he's packing a knife.
Oh, you're right. That's right.
That's in the mold.
That's sculpted into him. That's right. So, very, very good eye. As everyone will remember,
Boba Fett was my favorite toy growing up because it had the only gun my mom couldn't throw in the trash, which was on his on his wrist.
Yeah.
So I absolutely would have loved having a little teddy bear with a knife just built in there. But I think I've already done some, like, Ewok thing with, like, I'm going to cut you. Like, I think I did that a couple months ago. I don't know, but...
Probably, so, yeah.
I was thinking about it, but just...
There's a lot of violence associated with Ewoks that...
Yeah. But, I mean, if you just describe, like, a stylishly dressed gentleman with a feather in his hat and a knife under his cloak, like, you know, carrying a spear, you'd really anticipate, like, a fairly, you know, just, yeah, terrible guy.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that, Trump. He's a terrible, terrible person. Oh, we like the Poplus. Okay. So then, Steve, you just have your claim. And this is the thing, you know, we're keeping our episodes pretty light because I just don't have enough time in my day to mess with my potential sleep schedule. So you claim that Poplu is second to Wicket as the most prominently featured Ewok.
Screen time and
merchandise. So this is fascinating because I had no idea.
Okay. Well, this is, we're going to look as closely as we can at Poplu, just like we would at any other of these weird Return of the Jedi figures or characters. But yeah, I kind of got away with doing a gigantic unloved segment and not calling it the unloved segment. So we're gonna go back to a little bit of something I think we did with the Gamorrean Guard, where you can basically wear an entire wardrobe of Poplu. But then there's some other things too.
Okay.
So yeah, I feel like, yeah, in terms of screen time and merchandise, I don't know if I could say it's a bona fide claim, but I'm guessing. I think it's close.
Does Poplu have a title? Is he like assistant chief or something?
It's interesting you brought that up. I feel like the only thing you see a lot is scout. I don't think he has anything quite like woodmaker or wood carver, like Lumot or whoever. See, I'm already forgetting who does what, but. all right, I'm going to run through, and this is all entries on the archive, and we'll include the show notes, or the pictures in the show notes, but this is just some of my favorite, and this is not even, there's way more than just this.
Wow.
So you can get a perfumed eraser with his kind of movie-style likeness from H.C. Ford, one of my favorites.
But it does not say Poplu on it, it just says
Ewok. It does not say Poplu on it, you're right, but it is Poplu the character, and it's strawberry flavored.
Okay, one more thing though. Hey, H.C. Ford, don't have the trademark letters as big as the character letters. So it just says Ewok TM. If I was a kid, I'd be like, what does TM stand for? Is this a meditating teddy bear? What's going on here? Yes, and perfumed erasers, obviously. It's hard to describe to young people how important it was to have markers and pencils that smelled like things.
Yes.
I don't know if the iPad just erased that fascination.
Yeah, there are some markers that I can still smell now.
And these perfumed erasers, you know, they were also right there. Like, you could just spend a lot of time, and made in Japan, so.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. So then you could put that in your pocket.
Yeah. And on your way to school, or on your way home from school, you could stop by a Blockbuster Video and pick up a set of Ewok stickers, which basically what they did is so I forgot to mention this, but Poplu gets the line art, the Return of the Jedi line art treatment that some of the prominent characters get. So they have this kind of standard image that is used on a lot of things, along with Wicket. So this is a set, and it's something I realized just because I didn't go to Blockbuster until the early 90s, but I'm like picturing Blockbusters in the 80s kind of was interesting to me, and seeing these like these colorful Ewok stickers like right by the checkout, I could just picture it. But yeah, it's got, you know, six stickers with different colored backgrounds, basically just different iterations of the line art of Poplu and Wicket. But yeah, I hadn't, it's the first time I've come across while researching for the show, any Blockbuster Video items. So I'm like, I'm throwing that in there. That has to go.
Yeah, this is sort of a big deal to me, Steve.
Yeah, I thought it might be because...
because, you know, I took a year off between high school and college, and the reason that I think I became a good college student and therefore a good grad student, therefore a professor, is because of that year I took off. And I started working at the Blockbuster Video in Newton, Massachusetts. It was the hometown store of actor Matthew LeBlanc, and his his mother would come in and buy Friends memorabilia. It was very cute.
Oh, yeah.
I still remember my employee number, 290-027-3729. You can't take it or use it because there are no more Blockbusters anymore, but I did memorize it, and every Blockbuster I'd go to in the country, I'd say, I still have my employee number. And that was like, boy, I really learned a lot about like trusting in myself, that I wasn't as stupid as I thought I was or as everyone else thought I was. I had no idea there was vintage Blockbuster stuff.
That, okay, I wasn't sure if I would be alone in that. I was surprised to see that, so I'm glad that I was not alone.
It almost seems like fake. Like
I know. I was like, what?
I feel like we need to have a running list of things to talk to Duncan about, because that just seemed. I mean Wow.
Well, of course, I guess we should say pretty much all these entries that we're talking about are, it's in as Duncan as you could get.
Segment yes, with, it without, is.
Poor Duncan. Sorry, Duncan, but we are going to credit your work here.
Yes.
So bizarre, awesome Blockbuster stickers. You could get your official wristwatch that has Wicket and Poplu, the same art. There's tons of different iterations of these Bradley wristwatches that have the character on there. We talked about these before, I think, with other characters, but I just figured, slap that on your wrist.
Okay, and just so every once in a while, Steve, you know, I like to get into the psychosexual, and I'm especially interested just because this is the thing, right? Like Star Wars collecting is a very heteronormative, cis white male activity, right?
Yeah.
It just happens to be. So, I mean, just because those were the kids who were marketed to, et cetera, et cetera. So feel free to unsubscribe if you want, but that's, you know, whatever. Neither good nor bad. I'm not saying it's good or bad. That just is the way it is.
Yeah.
But this image of Poplu and Wicket, you could easily just say Pride. Like, you could just replace the word Return of the Jedi, and just with a little, like, Photoshop, you know, with the Times New Roman, which is the font, just say Return of the Pride. Because these look like... two gay friends, lovers, or what, acquaintances?
Yeah, the composition sets that up just right. Yeah,
they're like rubbing bellies against each other's. You know, we've talked about you know, like, obviously the little teddy bears. It's very cute. Like, they look like they look like two married men as Ewoks. If you have any gay friends who have, you know, like, photos above the mantles and they're married, this is what it looks like. So
yeah,
I like this item a lot.
Yeah, this is great. And you're right. I think, like, you see that line art kind of separate all over the place, but not quite paired together like this.
No, they're bumping bellies. I mean,
it's great.
I mean, Steve, you and I get along, right? But what would we have to do to take a picture with our, like, bellies touching? Like, shirtless belly touching? Come on. I mean, I know there's the fanfic out there, but still.
You still have those 12-inch dolls?
I do.
Okay. I guess saying that now, if you haven't listened to the podcast for the last 10 years, that's an odd statement for me to make. It's anyway, okay, so you have your great wristwatch. Next, if it gets cold, you've got your Poplu mittens with that same line art.
Same line art.
He's kind of holding the knife like he's ready to
Yes.
To let it go.
Well, I think this goes back to that bootleg ceramic that we looked at a couple months ago, where sort of I'll cut you look. Like, this really does look like he is just about to cut you.
Yeah, it's somehow, like, it's the same line art, but it's expressed somehow differently. It's a different tone.
Yeah, this is very, you know, this, it's weird.
It's a little aggressive, yeah.
Maybe because it's flipped or so, because it's like flipped
another
way. Oh,
maybe. Maybe that's it. That could do
it. Yeah, what do you know? It actually says Poplu on there, not just Ewok. Yeah.
This one just says Poplu. Okay, so you're getting warm. You can get even warmer with these really, really cute knit hats. And it's the same pose as the line art, but it's stitched. So it's not, it just looks like, I would love to see a kid wearing this. Like, this is so, so nice. There's a couple different ones. These are from Sales Corporation of America. I should have said the last couple of things. Let's see. I think the other one was too. Yeah, so the mittens for Sales Corporation of America. Bradley was the watch. Okay. So yeah, you have these knit caps with a little Poplu stitched on the brim. Super nice. I feel like, do you have a picture of Boba wearing a little Ewok knit hat at some point?
Yes. So I
it's
bought
not this one.
No, I bought that at Celebration 4.
Oh,
the one,
wow.
Because okay. Zola, my daughter, the one without a Star Wars name, she was born then, and so we got her the hat.
That's
I don't
right.
think she ever wore it.
Okay. So but, it's in use now. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's in use now. Like, what is the deal with this company, Sales Corporation of America?
You could do an entire, probably multi-episode series on Sales Corporation.
Yeah. First of all, the little etiquette on here, you know, the label has you know, like the opening crawl, and like they can barely fit the name of their stupid company, Sales Corporation of America. Like, was this like named by Mork or like Balki Bartokomis? Like, who named this? I'm very much for the real place. I work at the Sales Corporation of America. It's a good place, you know? Like, anyways, it's bizarre.
Yeah,
really bizarre. But they make so much great stuff. I mean, this is a really well knit hat. I wonder where it was made.
Yeah.
Was this one of the companies that like outsourced to Haiti? You know, just
maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Just the amount of detail. God, we gotta contact Duncan. I wonder if we sent him a message. Send him a message on Facebook. Should we send him a message on Facebook?
We could try.
I'm gonna do that right now. We're gonna see. Okay. Who knows? I think he might be hanging around with Ross Cuddy right now.
Okay.
In which case, he'll probably want a reason to get away. Nah, I kid. Okay, to Duncan. Okay, he'll love this, right? Hi, Duncan. Recording the show right now. In what country was the Poplu Sales Corporation hat made? Thank you very sincerely, Sky. Okay.
You know, what I really like about this scenario is I'm imagining, you know, like how a lot of customer service is done on the internet now. You just chat with someone. Duncan is the customer service for the Star Wars Collector's Archive.
Yes.
He's just permanently on call waiting for such messages to come through.
So we'll see what ends up happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that we still tried to do that, though. I think it's important to reach out, even if way too late.
Yes. And there's another hat. So that was light blue, but there's another one that's brown.
I think I like the brown one.
Oh,
brown stripes. It's quite good. So yeah, you can get nice and, you know, warm with your hat and your mittens from Sales Corp. And then, you know, when you're ready for bed, also from Sales Corp, you have I guess this is a sweatsuit. So wherever you want to use it, it looks comfortable. Probably there's a giant label on the picture in the archives. You can't see Paplu's face, but you know it's the same line art. So you really could wear an entire thing with the exact same image all over it, which I find that just satisfying.
A Poplu sweatsuit. What does this look like outside of its?
So I feel like it's got red trim and it's white with you know, white background with a giant picture of that line art in color on the front is what I'm imagining. I'm guessing the pants are red. We haven't seen anyone wearing this thing, but that's what I'm imagining seeing this packaged version. But yeah, it's labeled as a fleece set on this old Sears label on the picture. But yeah, Duncan describes it as a Poplu art white with red sweatsuit. Wow. So you can go jogging or you can go to bed, whatever you wanted to.
You know, Tony Soprano wears some pretty like awful sweatsuits from time to time.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah.
Okay, but then if you decide to go home and you decided that you needed, you're done working out in your sweatsuit.
You're done working out.
So,
yeah.
So you got home in the cold, right? And so you went to school and you put Ewok stickers all over your Trapper Keeper, and then you erased your name and you smelled the thing, and then you wore mittens and then two different hats on the way home. And then when you got home, you went on your like Nordic track, whatever it was that people worked out on in the 80s, in your sweatsuit. And then you went to bed in your Poplu on speeder bike yellow pajamas.
Yes. Now, what I love about this, it's a long sleeve t-shirt, three-quarter sleeve t-shirt. Is that it's got, you know, the moment, the speeder bike heist, but it's a depiction of it, the artwork. I don't remember seeing this specifically anywhere else, just on this t-shirt. And maybe there's other things that have it, but in terms of what I pulled together for this, it's unique. I don't know, you don't recognize this image from anything else, do you?
No.
It's got Poplu.
I didn't know Poplu was the one who gave the bike.
I guess
so.
That's true. Yeah.
No, but it's got these great speed lines and
the
verticality of the trees behind him and the dynamism, the foreshortening on the the arms, and he really appears to be flying. I mean, I know we're going to end up having to talk a lot about Poplu and the speeder bike scene.
Yes.
But I mean, it really is like maybe the funniest scene in all of Star Wars.
It could be. Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think about like as a kid. Pre-prequels, because Jar Jar is funnier than anything in the original trilogy for kids. He just is. I'm sorry. There's funny, and then there's Dello Felagatz, okay?
Yes. You know, just on that note, just to vindicate what you're saying, anytime Eleanor bumps her head, she says she bonked her head like Jar Jar.
Wow, there you go.
So, I mean, it took one page in a book of that happening, and that's how she describes whenever she hurts her head. She bonked it like Jar Jar.
That's awesome. But you know, like it's a comedic scene because he's like flying up and down and he's like going around in circles.
Yeah.
And also it's, you know, there's that meme. It turns out it was like a fake meme. And actually, if you look into it, there's some weird racist undertones. But there's a video game called World of Warcraft, Steve.
Yeah, is this the role-playing?
Yeah. And there's this really famous thing where there's like 30 people all getting ready to go on a raid and go do a really complicated thing.
Right.
And there's these, like this nerdy guy who's talking about like how you have, I've never played the game once in my entire life, but I find this to be one of the funniest things. And like, you know, what's our chance of winning? 33.3%, repeating, of course. And like they're talking about it, and then the one guy just runs in. And as he runs in, he screams his name, Leroy Jenkins. But if you actually look at the rest of the names, the rest of them have weird, like 70s stereotypical black names. So actually just, I picked this up. I ruin everything, but it doesn't matter because screaming Leroy Jenkins, no matter what the origin is always hilarious. And whenever I see that scene, I see Poplu as Leroy Jenkins. Like he just jumps on the bike and goes, and everyone's like, hey, should he be doing that? But like, that's the thing that needs to be done.
Yeah. Yeah. No, now I think I know what you're talking about now. Yes.
That's how you, the racist undercurrents are how you saved yourself from this episode being called Poplu Jenkins.
Right. So. Yeah. Oh yeah. This, I'd be great to know if this image is on something else. I couldn't find it anywhere else. So that's one reason I figured I might as well throw it in.
Well, I get one Duncan question episode, so I'm not going to ask him that.
Okay. If he listens, maybe he can do a follow up on that. So there are other pajamas. If you don't like that one, there's another kind of bizarre, it's not line art, but it's not the standard line art, but it is the speeder bike moment. So it's got the speeding lines, and it's got Poplu kind of flying in the wind with his little cape. I still like the other one a lot better, but if you wanted to have more than one set of pajamas with this moment, this funny moment in Star Wars history, you could have more than one set of pajamas. Different sets of pajamas. These ones are from Wilker Brothers, which we've talked about them in the past, I think, with sleepwear and whatnot. But right. Yeah, you could have another set of pajamas with Pop Lu on the speeder bike.
Well, and then things get... Oh, wait, is that it? Did we finish it? Yes, we did. Okay.
I think we got through that. There is more, but in other contexts.
Good.
Yeah.
So
should we make sure that the show recorded?
Yes. I'm gonna hit. Well, let's take a little break.
Okay.
All right.
My chest was beating right there.
Yeah. Well, we did record that one episode that got completely lost with Matthias and Matteo Barthelemy and.
Yeah.
I feel, and then we got that David Mandel thing with the terrible sound quality, and I feel terrible because that probably would have been a really good episode. But that was a rough time in my life, Steve.
Yeah, it's the podcast was definitely aligning with the insanity of real life, I think. Yeah.
So anyway, so we just talked about the great speeder bike scene, which I think, you know, I think that's the funniest point in the original trilogy. I think obviously the saddest point in the original trilogy is when one of the Ewoks dies. So the Ewoks get a lot of credit.
They do, yeah. Quite a range.
Now, you have written just three Pop Lus. I don't really quite get what you're talking about.
Let's go behind the scenes. Let's go.
I tried to be a little bit vague. I didn't want to give it all to you, but I'm gonna try and describe this as clearly as I can.
Okay.
So, as we were talking about, Pop Lu is given the Marquee attention, right? And I think, like we were saying, one reason that makes sense is that he was played for the most part by Kenny Baker. So, Kenny was actually going to be playing Wicket at first. And the day that they were going to have the big scene with Leia, Kenny Baker got food poisoning from a bad chili dog. And he couldn't shoot the scene that day. So they had Carrie Fisher there. They brought in Warwick to play Wicket. And it was supposed to just be for that scene. But then obviously we know what happened. That's history. We probably talked about this in the Wicket episode. But so...
Where did he get the bad chili dog from?
Okay, Steve? Yeah. This is where this is the X-Files mystery I'm trying to figure out, because they're in the Northern California woods. There's like, I think the closest town is, it's not, it might just be, I can't remember if it's Redwood City or Crescent City. So
I'm going to guess it's the A&W that's kind of near Sears Point.
Oh wow, you are really specific.
Well, I remember I went to Sears Point. I forget what they call it now, but I saw a NASCAR race up there. It's one of the more interesting NASCAR races because it's not just an oval. And I remember going to an A&W, and I'm like, how do you get a chili dog? Actually, that's not true. Northern California has a very vibrant hot dog culture. So I guess it could be from anywhere.
I you know what though? Let's just go with I like your A&W.
Yes.
We're gonna paint the whole picture. He got a bad chili dog from the A&W. You know, everyone else, Harrison Ford, they were all okay, but for whatever reason, poor Kenny got a bad chili dog. So he was no longer Wicket, but he did go on to play Pop Lu. And so I think, so he's no longer Wicket, but he gets to play this Star Ewok. The name was not always Pop Lu, and this is where things get even more confusing. There are these storyboards of the speeder bike heist that labeled that character as Kiko, K-I-E-E-C-O. And what's even crazier about that is that that name shows up on some vintage merchandise with Pop Lu pictured. So there's Dixie cups that have Pop Lu, but he's named Kiko. There's a French mustard glass, which I think I sent you a picture of or a link to.
You did, but it's spelled differently. It's spelled K-I-E-K-O.
Slightly different, yeah. So in the storyboards, it's the first way. But yeah, so there's this French mustard glass. It's him and Chewbacca, right, that has Kiko. And
well, I think I figured it out, Steve.
Okay.
So Kiko is a not uncommon Japanese name. It means happy child. And that's spelled K-E-I-K-O.
Okay. Okay, that, it, see, I've seen that name spelled that way. I wasn't sure if it was... Okay.
Right? Don't you think it's probably connected there?
I think it makes sense, yeah.
Because he's a happy... I mean, they're little guys, and they're happy, and...
Yeah.
And Papalu's certainly happy. I mean, he's a little imp.
He's pretty happy.
Yeah. He's a happy little sociopath. Sense. So that's my guess. And then maybe they...
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's not a particularly good name. Kiko doesn't match with Rombo, Warwick, Papalu, Wicket. It does match with Wicket, Wicket and Kiko. Because if you think about, like, the sounds, the letters, like, there are a lot of soft sounds, like Papalu and...
Yeah.
Yeah. But then there's one Warwick. Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting lost.
Yeah.
Okay. So when it was being filmed, was he called Kiko or Papalu?
See, that's kind of, it seems kind of muddled. So there, you know, he was designed, it seems pretty clearly Joe Johnston designed him because he did a drawing of an Ewok with the feather, like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of sticks up in some of his drawings. And there's the storyboards that have him with the feather sticking up. But that kind of goes away when you get into the other storyboards from Nilo Rotos-Jimero. Anyway, there's that kind of interesting thing with his name and the design, but I thought, seeing as we're talking so much about the speeder bike scene, there's some good description of the action from the finished script. So I thought I could share that if you want to hear it.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. Exterior, the bunker entrance. Papalu silently swings his furry ball of a body onto one of the scout speeder bikes and begins flipping switches at random. Suddenly, the bike's engines fire up with a tremendous roar. Han, Leia, and company watch in distress. the scout says, "Look, over there, stop him." The Imperial scouts race towards Papalu just as his speeder bike goes into motion. Papalu hangs on by his paws and shoots away into the forest. Then Han has his little furball line, and you go to exterior forest. And this is my favorite bit. Papalu sails through the trees, more lucky than in control. It's scary, but he loves it.
More lucky than in control.
Yeah, more lucky than in control. It's scary, but he loves it. And it has him swing up off the vine into the trees and all that. But I love that description. And the reason I said that there were three Papalus is that two other actors actually played him in the movie. So Kenny's most of it. But in that scene, all three are there. So... there's this, I don't know if you ever heard of that podcast, it's not around anymore, but it's a movie behind the scenes podcast. I was there too, but this guy, he would interview different actors or crew people that were on, just happened to be on the sets of big movies. So he interviewed Kevin Thompson, who was an Ewok stunt guy. He was really young at the time, he's like 22 years old, and he ends up being the guy who plays Papalu when he's swinging on the vine. And so the way they did it, he's actually, it's shot in reverse. So he's up on a ladder up in this tree and they drop him down on this vine and he has to keep his legs out so that when they play it back, it looks like he's swinging up. So I just love,
like,
it's this idea of them like hoisting him up on a harness and then having to do this backwards for this one stunt for Papalu. But then during the green screen stuff where you see Papalu kind of being really funny, that is actually Tony Cox, who I think most people probably know him from Bad Santa. He plays Billy Bob Thornton's, you know, right-hand man.
Right.
So that guy, he had been in, I think he plays other Ewoks in the movie, but I just love that in that scene you have Kenny Baker running up and getting on the bike, then you have Tony Cox doing all the like antics on the green screen, and then you have Kevin Thompson doing the reverse swing to get him to, you know, do the stunt. So it's just kind of funny. That's where the three Papalus came from. But there you go.
That's awesome. And also now I'm thinking about it. The scene where R2-D2 like zaps Wicket is pretty funny because maybe that's sort of like a little bit of passive aggressive, you know, like like when the understudy steals your role, like damn you, Wicket.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're totally right.
And we never would have got that because how do they? I mean, are there any scenes with R2-D2 and Papalu in it at the same time?
I'm glad you asked because this is something that this kind of blew my mind thinking about it, especially back thinking about when they're shooting this in 1982 or whatever. The last shot of Return of the Jedi has Papalu kind of doing his little happy friends, you know, hands dance in the shot. And I'm assuming that's Kenny Baker. But then you have R2-D2 just kind of there, but not moving too much. So in his very last shot, of the original Star Wars trilogy, Kenny Baker wasn't even playing R2. He might have been playing Poplu, which is that's pretty crazy to me.
Yeah, but it is.
There you go.
Wow, Steve. I feel
it's
like
too much Papalooza is getting out of control, maybe.
Yes,
but
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just looked at that Lollapalooza lineup. Turns out Ice Cube also played there, which is funny.
Really?
That means I've seen Ice Cube twice. And
this is the 92 one you're
talking
about?
Yeah, the 92. Had like Soundgarden, Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
Chili Peppers, Pearl Jam, Ice Cube. Because back in the old day, they'd have like one rap act up there.
Yeah.
So I think the next year it was, anyways. Maybe Cypress Hill after that. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Steve, I like how we're just sort of letting our bits go. I think that's fine. I don't think we need to have it. You have so much damn stuff here, Steve.
I know. It's too much, but...
this is too much Pop Luna. So you have a whole thing on international flavor. Oh, my God. So...
And this doesn't have to be too in-depth. Because we've kind of touched on this. It's becoming a recurring theme with these Ewoks, but...
Yes.
I only chose one because there are others, believe it or not. But I chose it's a tri logo with a Wicket card back. It's that Wicket image, but it's got Poplu as the figure, and they changed the nameplate to Poplu. So they just started using Wicket as the Ewok. You know, this happened with a couple of the characters we talked about already, but I like seeing that. You got to start to see like the pattern repeat. We're like, okay, this makes sense. We're just gonna use this. Switch out the name, put the Ewok. They're all about roughly the same size. Just go with it.
Wow, that's great. I would love to see an entire lineup of the misnamed Ewoks.
Yeah, yeah. And I know they're definitely not easy to come by. So, and then to balance that, you do need a beverage. And I feel like I chose this because I think we talked about it in probably the first show with Matthias, or you did. Which is the Swedish beverage. Now, do you remember how to pronounce this? How this soda?
I think it's Jädilask.
Okay, that's better than I would have tried. So, it's this. I don't remember much about it other than Matthias talking about it over 12 years ago when we were first starting, and it's just kind of funny to see it.
Well, I like it because the color, like the pink and the blue of the feathers, is very out there, and even though it's the line art, it's the coloring job really shows you know some interesting stuff there.
Yeah, I'm assuming it tasted probably pretty terrible. I don't know. But yeah, I figured this is kind of just it's like an old relic from the Kivecast archives. I thought I'd bring it back out, but I don't know. Do you remember if there were other, like, what other labels might have been around with this soda pop or whatever you want to call it?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it anymore, Steve.
That's okay.
Do you know what? Because I jumped ahead and I started looking at the thing you sent to me of Eric Nederestek's.
Yeah.
Focus collection. We should have definitely talked to him. I mean, I don't know really what we'd have to say because we're just sort of looking at it. But it's very nice seeing them all together. It is. There is something like nice about the earth color and the yellow. Like it is a nice card back the way it all comes together.
Yeah, yeah. So I figured back when we had better coordination and planning, I would have reached out to Eric just to at least get him on here. But I didn't know of any other Focus collectors that had a run on Poplu. I remember seeing his from a few years ago. I don't even know if he still has it, but at least there's still a thread on the Return of the Jedi Facebook group that has a really nice set of his stuff. There's a lot here, which, you know, we don't have to go through all of it, but what I thought was pretty funny was some of the coin design notes.
Yes. Yeah, I think, Steve, I think we need to pare down things a little bit. So
yes.
I don't think we need to go into Gus's coin development spotlight.
No, no, no.
We definitely do not want to get me talking about mechanicals.
I threw that in there merely as a joke. That is not, that wasn't really going to be...
Steve found a thread from Rebel Scum in 2009 where I'm up to my same hijinks, asking questions that I have no capacity to understand the answers. I might as well be asking about how does aerodynamics work on an airplane and have someone explain to me for 45 minutes. I'm just like, I don't know what a wing is.
That was going to be a joke nugget vocab because when I found that thread and I was thinking about that ridiculous conversation we had with Matthias a couple months ago, I'm like, wait, when did that happen? Like, what times, like, what universe am I in? Is this the same thing? Am I trapped somewhere? Like, it reads, and it just made me laugh so hard when I saw the same, pretty much the same discussion initiated by you.
Yes.
Before the podcast existed on Rebel Scum, trying to get to the bottom of mechanicals, because there is, of course, there has to be a similar paplu like the one we talked about with Matthias's Lumot last time. They're a pair of bizarre items. I guess there's others, but yeah, there's a thread. I'm gonna keep it in the show notes if you do want to go down an insane rabbit hole. But yeah.
Well, it's particularly funny. It's particularly funny because, like, you know, I do the YouTube channel, and the reason that the YouTube channel exists is because I would post thoughts about music on Facebook, and no one responded. So I'm like, I'm gonna start my goddamn YouTube channel about music.
Well, and then there you go.
And the podcast was kind of like, I would post things on Rebel Scum that I thought were super interesting, and like no one would care. So I'm like, I'm gonna get a podcast together where no one would care.
Right. Well, that, you see, this is the thing. There's a difference, though. I don't think anyone cares about our podcast. People do clearly care about your YouTube channel, though.
Yeah, I guess. But it's a little bit less.
The sentiment's the same. Yeah. So that's your joke nugget. There is a they call it on the archive a Paplu template proof card.
Okay, so this is the real. But I mean, this picture is great. You definitely have to go look at this page. Because who's Don Gary?
There's another mystery. I don't know. It was a name I was not familiar with.
We have to talk to someone, like, back in the old days, because Don Gary has only like four or five items. On the archive, but they're all interesting. He has all these weird prototype images, like this crazy Emperor's Royal Guard thing. He has.
So yeah, that's there's some lineage there that goes back to the old days.
Yeah, he has a Chromalin of the 41 back, which I thought was in Kellerman's collection. Yeah. Anyways, we'll have to put that.
Yeah, and you also know it's important because the images on the archive are only about 2 inches across.
Yes, so, they are. I mean, old school. The first photo shows a template of regular production card with the center cut out for insertion of the photo of the figure. The figure to be affixed behind the template. Note the photo is quite a bit larger than what it shows to the card since it's all together and the Kenner logo has been carefully cut out. The name of the figure has been printed separately and is affixed to the racetrack, which surrounds the name, the racetrack itself being a separate piece. Steve, I didn't want to talk about this thing, but I've never seen these things separated. Have you?
See, that's the thing. No, see, that was another reason I threw it in here is because
what is this thing? This is like, I've seen these mechanicals put together. Is that like the original photo art? What is that, Don Gary? I need a closer picture, Don Gary.
Yeah, see, I think this, it's like, I feel like if you were taking the piece Matthias had and kind of stripped it apart in its elements, I think it's something similar is, you know, what you would get is what this Paplu is, but it's such a tiny picture. You can't really tell.
So, damn you, Don Gary.
It's a mystery.
And also Gary, that could be like a Japanese name. Hi, Don Gary. His name is Kiko Don Gary.
I like that. Yeah. Just string it together.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, there's your nugget. We don't have to go. I don't think we have to go further than that.
But we do have to spend more time with the coin. So
just a moment.
The coin text is the sassiest coin text ever. Young Ewok scout whose love of adventure sometimes gets him and his Ewok friends into trouble. Like,
it's scary, but he loves it, Sky.
Yes, he's more luck than skill. Okay, and then from Eric's collection, you have this image of the notes for the coin design. So you see the original drawing, and you assume some poor guy in some room had to spend a couple hours like doing this drawing and trying to just do his absolute best to have a really good drawing of this random Ewok. And then he just gets savaged in the notes.
And someone took, you know, Poplu's knife to him.
Yes.
What happened? So some of the notes here, one is, quote, you cannot draw exactly from photos on these, not cute enough. Another one is dumb expression, close mouth more. I love that, dumb expression. Yeah. I mean, God, have you seen an Ewok mask? You can't, it's not really, like, you can, there's not much you can do. Fur over top lip. Okay. That's a little, that's a more, maybe a more helpful note than dumb expression. Eyes a little larger and rounder. So I found that you don't see a ton of notes on a lot of these coin designs. Nothing that, I mean, I feel like this is one where you see more than usual. And I thought they were funny.
Well, I would not want to be this person's kid, you know, like I would not want to be this person. Like you get the sense it's the kind of person like looks in the mirror for an hour and just sees nothing but flaws. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
yes.
Like, oh, dear, did you get your photographs back, your school photographs back? I did, mommy. Let me look at it. Dumb expression. Close mouth more. You got fur over your top lip. You know, you just, if your eyes weren't so close together, if they're a little bit larger and rounder, I think you'd just be a little bit more handsome.
Yeah.
You're not cute enough. Just the levels of anger. I can't quite make out the name here. It's Ken something.
Yeah. So it's someone from Lucasfilm. These are Lucasfilm notes. I'm not sure. Yeah, I know someone will know who that is.
But I would be so pissed if I was an artist. You cannot draw exactly from the photos on these. So what am I supposed to do? Go to the zoo and draw an Ewok?
not cute enough, Sky. Like that's the thing. I think the Ewoks in their physical form, they're not. I would not say that they're cute in the way that I think a traditional like toy artist would toy company would want them to be. I think Ron's talked about this too, you know, with the snarling sculpts being changed more to be more docile or cute. So yeah. I think this kind of falls in line with that. He's not quite as snarling or mean looking. And he needs more fur over his top lip because you know, he's he's mature.
Not cute enough.
Not cute enough. So that's from Eric's awesome collection. I'll include a link to that too. You go check it out. He had plenty of other incredible Poplu items, but that was the one that I love the most.
And then we do have an unloved item, Steve. And I don't even know if I'm going to put in the sound bites. Steve and I were talking earlier today about maybe just changing the show to not have sound bites and just be us talking, because realistically, people don't really care about the sound bites. It doesn't matter how much time I spend on them. People don't really care, Steve. And maybe
I care.
Okay.
No, but I get it. It's I think what we need to do, you should just create a little
soundboard.
Yeah, a little soundboard, or you know, just a commemorative. I don't even know what you would put this on now, but you need like a mix. You should just put that on Spotify, all of the
podcast
album. Yeah, but so I reserved the most unsettling item for the unloved item. I don't know how to describe this beyond saying it's unsettling. It's a greeting card from Drawing Board, which we talked about Drawing Board before. They did a lot of, you know, nicely or weirdly illustrated cards. I think we talked a lot about them with the Halloween cards last year.
Right.
So this I had never seen before. It's a greeting card. Let's see, does it have, oh yeah, it has the greetings is written in the text here. Okay, so on the cover you have Leia in her Ewok gown, but it's pink. It's not that kind of earth tone that it is in the movie. It's pink in color. And then you have Poplu standing next to her with his hand in a place that I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about this.
it's pretty weird. The whole thing is weird because
The whole thing is weird.
Because it's it's not the Ewok dress. Like, I've spent a little bit of time looking at the Ewok dress. It is not the cut. I mean, basically, but like, but it is not nearly that low cut. Because
you're right.
Because I'm going to be getting awfully specific here and anatomical, but like, I think it actually matters because this is such a weird thing. If you look at, at all of the promo stills of Leia in the Ewok dress, right?
Yeah.
It comes down to a, you know, it's not a cleavage dress, right? So it actually comes down and it doesn't plunge, doesn't go into a V. It goes into like a flat U, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But this goes all the way down, and it basically imagines, basically there's a piece of fabric underneath the V-neck of the dress that they took out for this drawing.
That's
the
right.
first thing that's unsettling. Yes. The other thing that's unsettling is she never, like, as far as I know, she doesn't ever show legs, right?
No. Yeah, not, I mean, it... I guess this is more like the Jabba's palace outfit in that way. it's like, but her Ewok dress, no, there's no legs. Not that I remember, at least not in any, like it's something. There's not many products that have Leia in this outfit either. That was the other thing that kind of struck me as odd.
Now there are promo. Okay, I think I'm getting here. There are actually promo photos which you can find on Pinterest.
Okay.
Oh my God! Look at this. This one's scandalous. You have to look up like Carrie Fisher hitchhiking.
Oh, you know.
Have you seen the hitchhiking one, Steve?
I don't know.
I'm going to send it to you right now. This is going to blow. Okay, there's one where she's like surrounded by these very large Ewoks.
Okay.
And I guess this, you know, I just sent it to you, Steve, and the viewers. There's this other one.
Okay, I have seen this. And there's the leg. You're right.
Yeah, so from the movie, there's no leg, but there are promo stills with sort of her legs prominently out.
Yeah, And, well, in this, she's got, like, boots. The promo shot you sent me, it's not the sandals like you see in this image. Yeah.
So it's, and the other thing is just the way the drawing is, you know, Carrie Fisher suffered from anorexia, like, you know, like she legitimately suffered from, you know, cocaine abuse and anorexia, and Return of the Jedi was very tough on her. And she talked about that.
Yeah.
And I read that into this drawing. Like, she looks very unhappy. She looks sallow. The way that the dress is, she looks like an underfed New York City model. She doesn't look like an intergalactic princess. And then you have this weird, super chubby looking Ewok who seems like, I don't know, kind of like a shady talent agent or something, like standing next to her.
I can't
figure out what his hand is doing. You know, like, you know, I always want to read into weird sexual stuff. I don't really read that in here. It's more just like,
no,
he's just disengaged. It's a very uncomfortable, weird image.
It's odd, like, because she has her hand on his little shoulder, and it almost looks like he's reaching to, like, hold her other hand, but her other hand is just down by her side. I don't know, like,
it's an awkward family photo that you take before everyone's set, you know?
So yes, like, yeah. And then they just decided that's the card.
Yes. Yeah, that's the card. It's very strange. It's a very, like, as someone who likes Carrie Fisher, I don't like this card. This makes me upset.
Yeah.
Like, if you ever see, like, there's some like behind the scenes footage or photos of her where she's very clearly coked out, and it just bums me out. You know, like a lot of the behind the scenes stuff in Bespin, it's just uncomfortable, you know, because I don't like seeing people suffer, and very clearly she was suffering. So
you're totally right.
And then on the inside it says, "It's so special having a friend like you."
Yeah,
they don't look like friends. They
So you know when you go to pick up greeting cards, there are different sections that have, you know, what the occasion is.
Right.
What is the label for this one?
Yeah. Friendship card. It's so...
I don't know. It's truly...
God. I figured out what this reminds me of.
Okay.
like in Taken or like one of those movies where there's like a really evil pimp character. Like going back to the pimp thing, but pimp character who has like smuggled in women across the border and like stolen their passports, and like they're sort of silent and they have to do what the pimp says, or else you know they'll be thrown in jail or killed or worse. She looks like that kind of sex trafficked prostitute, and he looks like a sex trafficking prostitute pimp guy.
But I just, for whatever
that's
reason,
what this looks like, Steve. Yeah, I can't believe I found it.
Yeah, for whatever reason, for me just now, when I'm staring at this horrifying face of Papalou, I immediately just think of Frank from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like, they would be friends. Yes. I think this Papalou and Frank would be eating cat food together.
Yeah, they'd get a rum ham together. And,
yeah. it's wrong. There's something wrong here.
Well,
but we
got to
it's preserved on the archive. Yeah,
we got to it. I was joking around. He was like a '70s pimp. He's actually a terrible sex trafficker, and that was what the whole thing was about. That's why they got her all dressed up like that. They didn't think that she was a princess. All right.
Oh no.
We've established that they're cannibals. Okay, we've established that they eat sentient beings who can talk.
Yeah,
right.
That's true. True.
I mean, they're not cannibals, but they eat animals that are capable of advanced thought, and you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Right.
It's so special having a friend like you.
It's so special, yeah.
Seriously, is this a birthday card? Who is happy to get this? I guess...
I feel like we've spent enough time with it now that we'll both have nightmares about this tonight. Yeah.
It's so special to have a friend like you. All right, well then that leaves us a little bit of time for the Market Watch. Is that right, Steve?
It does, yeah, and this is much delayed, courtesy of Brisbane. He had sent both the last one and this one together, so thanks again, Mike, for putting this together. And I didn't even include the whole thing, I just did our usual five, and I figured I'll just let you give a shot and guess and see where we land, and we'll just see, because, yeah, I mean, it's been a few months since we've... done one of these. I guess these are all probably like 6 months old by now. Sorry, Mike.
Hey, did you know Tame Impala is playing a concert in Brisbane tonight? Or
I did not.
I don't know how time works in Australia.
Or was it yesterday?
Or was it yesterday? But yes, yeah, they are. I'm on their subreddit. So
nice.
I'm looking at a map of Australia, Steve. Do you think it's on the east, west, north, or south coast of Australia, Steve?
What was the city they're playing?
Brisbane.
Brisbane. Is that? Oh gosh, I don't know. I'm gonna say total guess, southwest.
You're thinking of Perth.
I am thinking of Perth.
Brisbane. Exactly. Brisbane is absolute opposite. East. It's on the Gold Coast. It's sort of northeast. Yeah.
Yeah. I was definitely thinking of Perth.
It's right between Lismore and Maroochydore.
That sounds like it could be a Niwok village
from Toowoomba.
Oh, that could also be a Niwok village.
It could be. And then there's Cunnamulla.
Okay.
There's Quilipi. What I love about Australian names is that like some of them are these great like Aboriginal fascinating names, and then there's just these boring English guys. It's kind of like Massachusetts in that way, where you'll be like Nantasket, and then you'll be like Lord Willoughby's, you know. So
yeah, there's that mix.
There's
yeah.
Wollongong and Canberra, and then you have you know, St. Helens and
right.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, that was a great Market Watch. All right. So tell me, Steve, I have to guess within. You tell me if I have to guess within $10 or $100.
Let's go with. Let's say, why don't we do 50?
Okay.
Okay. All right. So what do you think we're going to go with the debut 79C Anakin, this is the standard, Return of the Jedi, Anakin printed offer, graded AFA 85, sold via auction on Hakes.
Oh, Hakes. That's the Australian house. Hakes! I am going to guess $50. Good Lord. I'm not going to get within a decimal. I will say FA-85. $600?
Wait, you know what? That's a respectable answer. It was 681. So
Come on, that counts.
We're going to revert back to
100.
100. Yeah, you got it. You got a point. You're still alive.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, 681.
Now, interestingly, I did buy a Poplu for my kids' collection.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, have we done an episode since Celebration? I don't know if we have.
We did. It was Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan was post Celebration.
We'll do an Andor one. Winners and losers. TIE fighters. We're done. Mon Mothma. She wasn't a vintage figure.
So yeah, you got a Poplu for the kids collection.
For the kids, but I got them the Canadian one just by mistake. Like, I bought it from Chris Fawcett from one of his Big Dig sales, and I didn't even know. He was like, wow, that's a really good buy, because the only way to get an offerless Return of the Jedi Poplu is to get the Canadian, and I bought that for my kids.
So very, very good.
Yes. You'll have to wait. I think Eleanor will get into Ewoks, but you have to be a little bit older, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay.
And you might have terrified her with tales of Swinga. But...
Maybe, yeah. I should show her that Joe Johnston Horrible Adventures of Tebow. There's a lot of dark stuff in that.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two. It's the same figure, but ungraded and fairly beat up. The bubble is not yellow, but the card's pretty thrashed. It's got some creases, some veins, a ripped up price sticker. But it's an ungraded, carded Paplu. What do you think? 79 back C with the Anakin offer. So pristine, high stakes was 681. What do you think? Just your run of the mill.
100.
Okay, we're sticking with your within 100. Okay, you got it. $165.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. So keep that in mind.
Because the loose ones go for a lot. Okay. You're going to tell me that.
Yeah. That's exactly why. Yeah. So keep that in mind. Okay. Next, we have a AFA 80 Power of the Force carded Poplu. So this, it's got the coin. This is obviously a produced figure. It's in great shape. The bubble is very clear. The punch is gone, but it's quite nice. I don't know if you'll ever see quite a nice Power of the Force Poplu. And this was on eBay. So what do you think this one sold for? Within 100.
$260.
Okay, I can't give you this one. $799.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a bit of a shocker. Pricey. $800 for your Power of the Force Poplu.
Wow.
All right, we got two more. So back to your point on loose figures. What do you think a loose, ungraded, but pretty much mint condition Poplu figure would sell for?
$150.
$169.96. So yeah, you got it. But it's like a couple bucks more than the carded ones. So
yeah, that's bizarre.
That seems to keep happening for some of these figures. I never would have thought, but here we are. All right, the last item, we have not talked about this at all, the plush Poplu. So this is the giant, not giant, but fairly decent sized plush Poplu toy that has the it's from the kids line. We talked about some of the other plushes, but Poplu got one too. So what do you think a Poplu plush sold for? And this is it's in the box. It looks to be in good shape.
$80.
I guess we'll give it to you. $149.99.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like we were saying, there's way more Poplu than anyone could handle. I think I'm already stressed out enough by the end of this episode. Like, I feel for Eric. I don't know how he's doing.
We have ignored more Poplu items than this. Might be our last chance to have a really well represented character. We've just kind of blown through it. But I think it's good, Steve. I think we're keeping it trim.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
Why did I say that? That's weird.
I don't know.
Weird thing to say. I think it's just that I'm tired, a little sleep deprived from the
There's a good reason. Yeah.
From the Boba
so
Fett.
Am I. Yeah.
But Steve, you know what that means. If it comes to the end of the episode, Steve, you know I'm perking right up. Now listen.
Yeah. You got plenty of good reason to be quiet.
I am sorry that the baseball team that you support, that has a ridiculously large salary, did not succeed in the playoffs. The baseball team that I support that has a ridiculous ass salary did not even get out of last place. So we're all kind of in the same place. I'm just excited for when the Dodgers sign Aaron Judge to see what you and Brock do with your friendship. That is going to be the least surprising thing when it happens in like 3 weeks. You heard it here first. But it's time to talk about
hot stove with Sky.
The time to talk about the listen, Steve. There's nowhere for me to talk about the fantasy baseball league that anyone cares
because you don't have. Yeah, you don't have your official outlet.
I don't have an outlet, and this is the thing. I can talk to my wife about it, but she doesn't even understand baseball, much less fantasy baseball, and like. Neither do I.
Sky. Yes.
Our league is not the kind of league where you win and then you brag and you dunk on everybody, which is really annoying when you win it as much as I do, because like, what's the fun of winning a fantasy league? But Steve, I got to tell you, this is the best victory I've ever had. This is the fifth time I've won. So I've done it 13 years now. And
it's a dynasty now, right?
It's a dynasty. I think it is. I've won five, but like, last year, Steve, I finished 14th out of 14th, dead last. Steve, you beat me last year. This was
somehow. Yeah.
You know, it was because I hated baseball with COVID. I hated that season happened. No offense. I hated the way that it felt after. I didn't pay any attention. But Steve, I just want to tell you why this victory meant so much to me. I went from worst to first. And do you know how many players I had in the top 10 at the end of the year?
How many was it?
None. How many did I have in the top 25, Steve? None. I didn't have any in the top 50, Steve. I didn't have any good play. My best player, according to like the statistics or whatever, was Emmanuel Class A. Was like my reliever.
Okay.
So I don't know how I won. I didn't have any good players. Ahmed Rosario was my best offensive player. Like, I don't understand. I drafted Marte, who's injured. I drafted Buxton, who was injured. Like, seriously, I don't know.
You're just a player's manager, Sky.
I was on another planet, and the competition was really good this year too. Like the people on the top, they were like, anyways.
Yeah, so, no, it's a hard fought. The worst to first is pretty remarkable. So, congratulations.
Well, thank you. I just needed that. No, I had three in the top 50. I'm sorry. I have that in my notes here, but just
incredible season. Incredible. Yes. In terms of fantasy baseball.
Yes.
I'm also I always get relieved when at least that stress is no longer there. I can focus on something else. Yeah. I've gotten good at just severing off the pain immediately.
Yeah. Well, it's fun because I'm good enough friends with Mark Ruciano on Facebook.
Yeah.
Dude is so into whatever sports team he's into, and the sports teams he's into just never win, and it's glorious. It's just a glorious experience. If you're not friends with Mark Ruciano on Facebook, you really should be, because like, he will make you like care about like how well the New York Rangers are doing in hockey. It's like, I'm a Bruins fan, but like, that was some pretty fascinating back and forth between the New York and the Atlanta fans. But it's 10 o'clock here, which means it's a perfect time for me to go. I'm super psyched. This has been a lot of fun. I still don't have Dreamweaver on my computer, so I don't know when I'm going to get to upload this. But maybe I'll upload it to YouTube first.
Yeah, whatever works. Who knows? I think, it feels good to be talking to you. And you know what? That wraps up a season, Sky.
Does it?
our two episode season. Yeah, the 79 backs. We're done.
Wow, so what's next? Question.
Where do we go from here? Now there's two ways. You could go straight through the card back method, which I'm guessing is what you're going to lean towards, which right into the power of the force. Or do we address Max Rebo and his band? Do we address Jabba the Hutt while we're still in the Return of the Jedi era? I don't know. I leave that up to you to ponder on, but
Yes.
It's a big turning point.
I don't know. Yeah. That's interesting.
We'll find out right before we record.
Yeah. All right. Well, Wampa Wampa. Star Wars picture display bag and certificate.